The Pesach holiday is one wherein we put a tremendous amount of effort, both physically cleaning the house as well as all the preparations for the Pesach holiday. And one but has to wonder that all of these preparations and all of the energy that we put into the Pesach holiday in general, and the Seder night in particular, has to lead to a certain goal. There must be a certain purpose. There must be a certain lesson that needs to be derived from the holiday that is commensurate with all the preparations and all the time and emotional and physical energy that we invest into holiday. And clearly, the Haggadah and the Seder night experience, all of which we also expend a tremendous amount of effort and energy and inspiration and intellectual involvement, they too also have to lead us to a certain goal. It is also a means to a certain end. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is the end? What is the goal? To where are we directing all of our energies in the preparation of the Pesach holiday? What I'd like to try to suggest today is to focus in on what is the goal. What is the highlight, the aspect that we should derive from the holiday, and then to perhaps take a look at two different approaches on a concrete level wherein we can reach this goal or we can work on achieving this objective. I think the goal of the evening is best described in Rav Wolbe's essay in Alei Shur on the holiday of Pesach, where he notes that Kol ha'iluyim she'isiga klal Yisrael lo nitafshu ela yidei hitgalut zo shel shiur komotam b'chatzo laila shel yitziyah Mitzrayim, lachen kol ha'chagim shelanu heim zecher l'tziyah Mitzrayim. Explains Rav Wolbe very beautifully. He says all that Klal Yisrael reached at the time of yitziyah Mitzrayim, the time of chatzot ha'laila, midnight, was the ability to tap into Shi'ur Komotam, the height, the greatness, the stature of where the Jewish people should be at. And therefore, all the holidays and so much of Judaism is connected. Zecher L'Tziyat Mitzrayim, says Rav Wolbe, it's not only the whole experience of Yitziyat Mitzrayim, as much as that one moment on Chatzot HaLaila, at that one moment when the Jewish people were able to face what is Shi'ur Komotam, what is this height, what is this level, what is the ultimate that the Jewish people were able to tap into at that moment. Let's explain this concept a little bit deeper. Rav Wolbe quotes a very interesting medrash and the Maharal on the medrash. The Maharal quotes the following medrash, which says, "Bizchut sheninasa Avraham ba'asaran nisyonot, hevia kadosh baruch hu asaran negaim ha'mitzrayim." In the merit that Avraham Avinu was tested with 10 trials, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the 10 plagues on the Egyptians. And explains the Maharal, what is the concept of the 10 trials? The 10 trials were kidei livchon amitat atzmo. The 10 trials that Avraham Avinu underwent was in order to be able to figure out who Avraham Avinu was, to be able to access the essence of what Avraham Avinu was about. The whole focus of the trials is almost like a continuum, where you begin with the Kivshana Esh, according to some opinions, of being thrown into the fiery furnace, and you end at the experience of the Akedah, and clearly the experience of the being thrown into the furnace is testing Avraham Avinu, although physically it's a difficult test, but really on the external level. When you reach the level of the Akedah, wherein he has to give up his son who he longed for years, a son whom he davened for years, a son in whom he invests the entire Jewish history. It is in this child Avraham Avinu has to give up everything and be able to sacrifice him for a deeper love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you know so clearly what is Amitat Atzmo, what is the essence of Avraham Avinu. The essence of Avraham Avinu, as we say in Zichrono Samusaf, is V'kavash Rachamav La'asot Ritzoncha B'Levav Shalem, that he was able to conquer his feelings of mercy in order to do God's will. That is the continuum of the trials of Avraham Avinu. And likewise, says the Maharal, this is what you find in Egypt as well, is that each Makkah, starting from the Makkah of Dam of blood, moves closer and closer until you get to the essence of the Egyptians, which is the Makkah's Bechoros, which affects them so personally. And explains the Maharal that at the moment of the Chatzot HaLaila, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes b'chvodo u'b'atzmo u'b'moragodo also gilui shechina, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we say in the Haggadah, he himself appears. There's hiskalus ha'shechina, there's revelation of the divine presence. There were two things happening at that moment. U'b'moragodo l'Yisrael shalomaitu b'chareihem, moragodo l'Mitzrayim shemaitu b'chareihem, u'moragodo l'Yisrael shalomaitu b'chareihem. The revelation of godliness affected two things. One, it was able to touch the essence of the Egyptians, wherein the firstborn, as the Netziv points out, who have a certain tendency toward Kedusha, died. It touched the essence of the Egyptians. It touched Paro, who allowed the Jewish people to go because he recognized this is the right thing to do, not because he was coerced into doing it. The Gilui Shechina, the revelation of godliness, on one level affected the Egyptians. But on the second level, and this is the key for us, the Hiskalus Eloki, the revelation of godliness in the Egypt experience, was not only to tap into the essence of who the Egyptians are, that now Paro is letting them go on their own volition, but it tapped into the essence of who the Jewish people are. It was able to achieve, like the 10th trial of Avraham Avinu, the essence, the core. Says Rav Wolpe, the Gilui Hashchina hitached im nishmoteihem shel Yisrael. The revelation of godliness made with one the souls of the Jewish people. V'nitgaleh lahem hasod hagadol, and they were privy to the great secret. Ki kodesh Baruch Hu v'Yisrael chadhu, that Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people are one. This is the revelation of Shi'ur Komato shel Klal Yisrael. This is the height, this is the essence of where Klal Yisrael reached. Asher me'ata etzem mahutam v'ritzonam, that the essence, the whole nature of the Jewish people, their ritzonam and their desires, who lasot maaseihem, to do their actions, v'lechayot chayehem, and to live their life, lechvod yotzram, for the glory of God. Zehu omek inyan yitziat Mitzrayim. What is the shiur komotam? What transpired at that moment at midnight when HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo b'atzmo revealed himself to the Jewish people? It was a moment where the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu became one. A moment in certain degree even more intimate than the moment of Mamad Har Sinai, which was a bit of coercion. This was a moment of love, a moment of intimacy. It was a moment where the Jewish people in their deepest, deepest part of self said, we want nothing else but to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our desire is l'chvod yotzram, is to be able to create a kavod shamayim in this world. And continues Rav Wolpe, likewise, our job in Leil HaTzeder is to reach the same level, lamitat atzmenu kefi yicholtenu, to shed away the layers, to get down to the core, to get down to the essence, that all we want to do is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the preparations that we have for the night of Pesach, the entire Haggadah, is all building up to one essential point, and that is, get rid of the chametz. Work very hard at getting rid of the chametz, because the chametz is this outer aspect of the self, which is not the core. The core is the masa. The core is who you really are, not the facades you put on. The core of Pesach is to be able, at the end of Leil HaSeder, to sing Shir HaShirim and to say, I want nothing else but to be embraced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want nothing else but to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My deepest desire, the essence of myself, the end of the night of the Seder, I'm able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want nothing else but to serve you, to get closer to you, to be a better Jew than I have been until now. And that's why Rav Wolpe continues that the whole focus of the Seder is the pasuk of the Higadata Levincha Bayom Ahu, which I'll tell our children in that day, Lemor saying, Va'avur zeh, because of this, Asa Hashem li, Kadosh Baruch Hu did to me, v'tzeiti mimitzrayim, when I left Egypt. The focus is li, to me. Zehu nekudat hamerkaz shel haGadah, this is the essence of the Haggadah. And therefore, a child to ask, Ma havodah hazo lachem, what is this service to you? Such a child is a rasha. He has taken himself out of the picture. The whole point is not just to ask about what's going on tonight, but the whole point is to ask in order that you as a person are affected. The whole evening of Pesach night, as Ramchal points out in Derech Hashem, is that we're able to tap into that same Ha'ara, that same light, that same energy that was found in Egypt. Pesach night is found by us. The point of the evening is Asali, that we're Hashem Li, that we're able to tap in to this aspect of the night of the Seder. And that's why the night of the Seder is a night of dialogue, not a monologue. Because the more we ask, the more we get involved, the more we're able to tap into arousing that part of ourselves that has interest in finding out more about ourselves, to be able to reach the level of that we feel ourselves connected, we feel that we can achieve that same level that Klal Yisrael achieved. And as Rav Wolbe concludes this essay, he notes that generally during the year we take it step by step in our Avodas Hashem. Pesach night's the exception. Pesach night, as the Kodesh Baruch Hu jumped over the houses, the whole night of Pesach is Derech Dilug V'Kvitza, is a night of jumping, where we're able to really fly past many levels that we normally need to go step by step, and tonight we're able to jump up and say what we want is Emunah, what we want is connection, what we want is this relationship. And says Rav Wolbe, and this is so important, Im nasik olo, whether we achieve this or not, aval nihiyek mehim v'nechsafim laseh, but at least we should have a desire and want to reach this level. Whether we're able to be successful on the night of Pesach to say that I'm a new person, and that I feel like I'm Yom Kippur, the Ne'ilah night, and there are many similarities between the two, of the Kittel, of the power of the evening, whether I'm able to reach that level or not is secondary, really, to the fact that I need to want to reach this level. That at the end of the Seder, I'll say to myself, maybe I've reached it, maybe not, but this is where I want to be. I want to have this ability to transform me. I want to feel closer. This is my ultimate and utmost desire. If that's the key of the night of the Pesach, and that's where we're headed, and that's where all our preparations are at, and that the Haggadah is a means to this end, and that the readings and the discussions is all to bring me to a level of closeness, that at the end of the Seder I can say I feel more connected, that this point was the point that the Jewish people reached, that all the holidays are Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim, to remember this point, this Nekuda of connection. The question we need to ask ourselves is, practically, how can we work on accessing this? How can we work on arousing ourselves to reach a level where we too feel that this is where we're at? To reach a level where we're so close that we feel that the Geula, the redemption, has to happen. We open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, because at that moment where we want nothing else, we return Hashem, that has to be the moment of Geula, the moment of redemption. How do we access this? So I'd like to try to suggest perhaps two approaches based on a very fascinating distinction that the Sifti Chaim notes in the Sefer, from the Sefer HaMeir La'olam. If we take a look in Parsha Re'eh, in talking about the holiday of Pesach, we find two fascinating verses which seem to be saying two different things about the same holiday. The first Pasuk, Pasuk Aleph, it talks about watching the Passover festival, the Passover to God your Lord, since it was the month of the standing grain that Hashem your God brought you out of Egypt at night. And here it describes it at Mitzrayim, the Egypt at night. In the place that God will choose to be dedicated to his name, you shall sacrifice a Passover offering to God your Lord along with other sheep and cattle. So the first imagery we have is a Passover to Hashem, the Korban Pesach at night, leaving Egypt. Then a Pasuk Gimel we have, do not eat any leaven with it. As part of the celebration, you shall eat matzah for 7 days. This shall be hardship bread, since you left Egypt in a rush. You will then remember the day you left Egypt all the days of your life. So according to this third pasuk, we have a whole different view of Pesach. The focus here is on matzah rather than on Korban Pesach, but it's also focusing on the day you left Egypt, not on the night. And here, instead of describing it as Mitzrayim, it describes that the land of Egypt, Eretz Mitzrayim. So how do we understand the Korban Pesach, the Exodus at night, the matzah, the Exodus during the day from the land of Egypt? How are we to understand these two verses? So the Meir Lo'olam explains that although we all know that the Jewish people were redeemed during the day, that's Be'etzem Hayoma said we left Egypt, there were really two parts to the redemption. There was a redemption that took place at midnight at that night. It was the redemption of the physical aspect. It was the redemption Shayach LaGuf, where we were no longer slaves that night. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu passes over the houses of the Egyptian and kills the firstborn and saves the Jewish firstborn, at that moment we are no longer subservient as slaves to Egypt. Paro says that night, get out of here. That night we achieved freedom of the body. That is represented in Korban Pesach. It represents the being able to show gratitude toward God that he skipped over certain houses and did not kill the firstborn of the Jews. The second aspect of redemption is redemption of the spiritual aspect. And that happened during the day, and that is from the aspect of the land of Egypt, because the land of Egypt was the whole place which immersed, the Jews were immersed in the Tuma, in the impurity, and that's the redemption from the whole gestalt of the impurity of the land. And that is reflected in the matzah which we baked. The matzah is the imagery of the spiritual redemption. I think these two aspects, the physical redemption of the Makas Bechoros at night, the Korban Pesach, the spiritual redemption that's found in the matzah wherein the Jewish people had to leave so quickly, otherwise they'd be in the 50th level of Tuma, the spiritual redemption during the day, serves for us as a means of understanding the two methods, perhaps, that we can achieve our goal on the night of Pesach. Let's work through the second one first, the spiritual redemption, the matzah. The matzah that we know that the Sefer HaEmes points out that it's called the Ochel HaEmunah, the bread, the food of faith. What is the concept of the matzah? What is the concept of the spiritual redemption during the day? So the very fascinating insight of the Nesiva Shalom. But the Sefer Shalom asks a very basic question. He says, we know that the Jewish people had to leave Egypt very fast, hence the matzah, because there was a danger that had they stayed in Egypt any longer, they would have failed to the 50th level of impurity, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point wasn't able to take them out. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take them out that last moment before they would fall into, God forbid, the 50th level and be lost for good. So the question is obvious. If we're so concerned that, you know, within moments you may fall into the 50th level, within moments you may be lost, so why did God just take us out a little bit earlier? Why did he wait to almost, you know, down to the last wire to take us out if there was such a danger that we'd fall to the 50th level and then we'd be lost for good? So just take us out a little bit sooner. And if you'd taken us out a little sooner, then we wouldn't have had this problem. So Nesiva Shalom gives a very powerful mashal. And this mashal really serves for us as the essence and the core of what Pesach is about. He gives a mashal of a garin, of a seed, that's planted in the ground. And we know that the process of a seed is that first it has to rot, and then once it's completely rotted, except for a kusta dechiyusa, a little spark of life in it, it's from that spark of life that a new plant can grow. But the new plant can't grow until it's completely rotted. But it's not rotted completely, it just has that one spark of life in it. Once it's reached that level of rotting until that spark is there, it's at that moment that new growth and process can begin. And he says that is the same thing with the Jewish people. They had to decompose, so to speak, in the 49th level of Tuma in order to then regenerate themselves and be able to start anew, to be able to be a purified and refined people. Had they waited had they gone out sooner, they would not have reached that level of decomposition from which a new plant could sprout. But they had to be careful, because if you wait too long, then that spark of life will also be gone, and then a plant cannot grow. It had to be that very specific moment where it's decomposed enough, where it only has this klusta dechayusa, this aspect of life, and it's from that aspect of life that the Jewish people were able to build themselves. What is this spark of life? What is this essence within the Jew that from it the entire Jewish people was able to rebuild itself? So explains the Nesiva Shalom that this is the Shorash Hamunah, the aspect of faith. He says, Shamunah hi bichinat koach hiluli shi b'shorash neshamot Yisrael shem chelak Hashem amo. Implanted in every Jew is this aspect of Emunah. Implanted in every Jew, no matter how far you may fall, you may be on the 49th level of Tuma, but nevertheless, there is that aspect of life wherein growth can happen. It's the aspect of Emuna. It's the aspect of faith. And he continues by saying a very powerful line, She Yehudi tzarich lahamin, shehu ma'amin. And the Jew has to believe that he believes. Because even when a person believes that his emunah is gone and that there's nothing left within him, understand that it's just dark clouds that are covering your emunah. The emunah of a Jew is never lost. It's that spark of life from which everything is built. This, my friends, is the one aspect of the matzah that we have on the Pesach night. The matzah, which is the bread of emunah. The matzah, the food of faith. The matzah that the Jewish people baked running out of Egypt. Almost on that 50th level, but not quite there. They're able to take that matzah and run with it. The matzah represents that what are they taking to develop themselves? They're taking their emunah. And what do we do on the night of the Seder? On the night of the Seder, we have two different matzahs in front of us. Yachatz, we take one matzah and we hide it, safun. It's hidden till the end of the Seder, and one matzah we say the entire Haggadah over. That hidden matzah that we hide till the end of the Seder perhaps represents this aspect of the kusta dechayusa, of that spark within us which is hidden. The matzah we hide on the Pesach night is symbolic to all of us. That there is this essential part of us which is perhaps hidden within us. But know that it's there. Know that it's going to come out. Know that it is the key of the Geula. It's the afikomen from which we have the final taste for the evening. It represents the redemption. It's that hidden aspect of the Emunah which is within every single Jew. And continues in the Siva Shalom. There's a second aspect of the spark of life. On the one hand, the latent aspect is that emunah within us. The other aspect, which is much more visible, is this aspect, asher hu koach haruchani shel ish yehudi, sheleolam eino ne'achal v'nisraf legamrei. That a Jew spiritually is never gone for good. Because what is this aspect? That a Jew is never mashlim in mitziyuto, never is able to be complacent with his spiritual level. A Jew always wants to grow, always wants to change, always wants to become a better person. The mashal of a person who falls into a pit, as long as he's crying out, there's hope that he'll be saved. A Jew always has to cry out, mimamakim, from the depths. This koach, this kusta dechayusa, the spark of life, is also the aspect that a Jew is never mashlimi matzavo. He never is complacent with his level. It's the matzah wherein the lechem oni sha'onim alav dvarim harbei. We speak a lot of words over that matzah. We invest a tremendous amount of limud Torah on this matzah. This matzah that's the revealed matzah during the Seder night is the matzah of interchange, the matzah of growth, the matzah wherein we learn and grow throughout the Seder night. These two aspects of the spark of life within a Jew, the latent aspect of the emunah, the covered matzah, the more visible aspect of growth, the matzah that is revealed, is really also personified in the imagery, says in Siva Shalom, of the sneh, the first vision Moshe Rabbeinu gets, that the sneh is boer ba'esh, is all consumed, ve'enenu ukal, but is not eaten. That's the two aspects that we've seen, that no matter what transpires over a Jew, he is not eaten, he has that koach of amunah within him. And the second aspect, perhaps, we can add to the Siva Shalom, is that the nature of a fire is that it's always going upward. That's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught. You want to know the first image that Moshe Rabbeinu sees, which is really the essence of Klal Yisrael, it's the imagery of the sneh, that we cannot be consumed, where we always have that amunah. And just like the flame, no matter how you turn a candle, is moving upward, our passion, our desire, is also to move upward. When we recognize this, when we understand so clearly that the focus in life is this spark, is this aspect of connection, that no matter what happens to us, we want to get closer, and that we want to be able to tap into that emunah aspect within ourselves, that we're then able to say, how can I now express this? How can I express this desire to come closer? How can I express this feeling of tapping into that concealed matzah of emunah? What can I do to be able to articulate this feeling, to make it real, to make it alive, to make it something viable for me as an individual? And that is to take these feelings and be able to channel them into the simcha sachag, the joy inherent in the festival, and the whole concept of what joy is about. In a wonderful, wonderful new sefer that our school just put out with Hearts Full of Faith, the speeches of Rav Masisyahu Solomon Shlita, the Lakewood Mashkiach, essays on Amunah and Bitachon, an absolutely beautiful, touching, inspiring book. One really wants to get into major issues. He has a thing on the World Trade Center and other issues of tragedy and joy, of where you see Amunah and Bitachon in our lives. It's a beautiful sefer. And in it, he speaks about a joy derived from mitzvah. It's the emotion a person experiences when he comes closer to God, where he feels uplifted, sanctified, and rich, and this fills his heart with a boundless joy, so profound that according to the Talmud, it invites the appearance of the Divine Presence. And he says, when a person comes to realization that everything God does is for his good, for the good of the Jewish people, and for the good of all creation, the more his heart fills with the most exquisite joy imaginable. This joy in his heart is his personal revelation of divine presence. What does a person do when he experiences this joy? When he sees the hand of God with blinding clarity? How is this joy he feels on the inside expressed on the outside? Only by proclaiming to the rest of the world the great truth he has discovered. By showing other people that he is rejoicing in God rather than his own pleasure. By sharing with all the world his joyous encounter with God. And that's how he explains the pasuk in the Mizmor LeToda of Hariu Hashem Kol Haaretz. I give thanks to God. How? By the entire world, the entire earth should sing out to God. When you experience something so closely, when you see the hand of God, so then you want to share it with everyone. That's what true joy is about. That's how true joy is expressed. Let's explain. When a person feels and is tapped into this level of amunah, this level of faith on the night of Pesach, when he taps into a desire to grow, a person is then able to focus in on the fact that his life is about the great wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for him. He's able to sense and able to arouse and elicit within himself all the wonderful things that God has done, all those things that have led and helped and developed his emunah in God. The night of Pesach is to be able to begin to express all those things that have helped a person be entrenched in his emunah. And the more a person speaks about this, the more a person feels a tremendous amount of joy, the more a person feels more connected. Let me share a story that perhaps concretizes this idea a little bit more, that we get a sense of what this is about. 2 weeks ago, we came back from a short trip to Eretz Yisrael, 19 hours on a flight two little kids, Kanainara. We come back, suitcases, car seats, the works. We get into a taxi cab, and it's a day of the marathon. And the taxi cab is driving and driving and cannot cross over all these major streets. And we're going way out of our way to try to cross over. And we're going through one side street after another side street. And the meter is climbing and climbing. And we turn to the cab driver and say, do you take Visa? He says, no. We have X amount of money, and the meter is climbing and climbing. And we finally get across one major street, and we think we're clear free. And then we hit another block. And we turn to the policeman, and we said, how do you get through these streets? He said, you have to go all the way up and then take the freeway and come all the way back, and you'll be able to get there. We weren't going to have enough money for it, and at that point, the taxi driver had no more patience. So he let us off in the middle of a mini mall, around a mile, mile and a half away from our house. Two little kids, car seats, all our luggage, left in this mini mall. Stuck. 19 hours of flying. At this point, we're trying to brainstorm what can we do to get home in the fastest way possible at 12 noon in the heat of the day. We may have been standing there for a minute when a certain person whose daughter I taught many years ago, who I've not seen in a long time, happened to have kids and all of our luggage four blocks away where she's parked, and she's able to drive us home. We believed at that moment that this woman coming at that exact moment, within seconds of us landing there, stranded, was a Shaliach Hashem, was a clear indication of for us of Hashkacha Pratit, of a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us at that moment and helping us get home. This woman was clearly a Shaliach, a messenger. When I got home, I started calling on my friends. You'll never believe what happened. We were stuck and this was happening and this person came out of the blue. That feeling of sensing Hashkachas Hashem led to such a great simcha that all you want to do is call up everybody and think you'll never believe the story. It was such a clear indication of Hashkachas Hashem. The more you talk about it, the more of joy you feel, the more closer you feel, the more you grow in your relationship and appreciation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. The Chol HaMa'arbe L'Sap Yitzia Mitzrayim HaRei Zeh Meshuvach. The more you talk about the Egyptian experience, the more praiseworthy you are. You know what the night of the Seder is about? The Haggadah is a means toward an end. It's a means to talk about Emunah. It's a means to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved us throughout history. It's a means to talk about experiences within our own lives where we feel this Emunah, we feel, we have sense, this faith in God being developed. The more we talk about this, the more we're able to take that latent feeling and make it alive, make it something we want to share. It increases our simcha, increases our joy, and increases our level of connection. The night of Pesach, my friends, is not a night to get caught in all the minutiae of the Haggadah and all the little Vortlach the kids are saying. That has to be a means toward an end. The end is connection. The end is arousing within oneself those feelings of Amun of, wow, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. Look at all the miracles. Look at all the wonderful things. Let me allow that inner sense of Emunah to be fanned this evening, to be alive this evening, so that a Chatzot HaLaila, I too can say, I appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you've done for me, and I just want to shout out the Hallel at the end of the Haggadah. Hodu LaShem Ki Tov Ki Lom Chazdo. I just want to shout out my joy, my appreciation, my feeling of connection. That, my friends, is one aspect of the redemption. The spiritual redemption that we focus in on, the matzah of Emunah, the matzah that's revealed, the matzah that's concealed, the ultimate aspect of the evening of the halal, of the shira to Hashem, of the simcha, of the night of the Seder. The second aspect is the physical aspect. It's the gulat haguf, the physical salvation, the Korban Pesach. And we know, as the Maharal points out, that the whole focus of the Korban Pesach is the aspect of unity, where you had to eat it in one house. It's a sela bayit, you couldn't leave that house. You had to roast the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, because when you roast it, it becomes a guf echad, a gush echad becomes one. If you broil it, if you boil it or bake it, the pieces begin to fall apart. The evening is about the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we focus it on the Seder night, a whole aspect of the theme that's found throughout the Seder is the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The theme of the Seder is Hashem, the Leidei Melech, Leidei Saraf, Leidei Shaliach, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, not through an emissary. In fact, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned throughout the entire Haggadah except one reference where the Pasuk says, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe Avdo, and they believed in Hashem and Moshe's servant. And even here, how the Gra explains it's Moshe referred to as Eved Hashem, not in his own right, but rather as an Eved, as a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The focus of tonight is on all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. The focus is on the oneness of Hashem. And we find this as well alluded to in the paragraph of Metchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Ayu V'Aseinu V'Achshav Kevanu Makom L'Avodato. At first our ancestors were idolaters, but now Hashem has brought us closer to His service. And it goes through how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Abraham Me'ever Nanahar, and He gave Abraham and Yitzchak, and Yitzchak Yaakov and Esav got Mount Seir. Ask the Sifte Chaim, where do you find in this paragraph the opening line? The opening line says, at first we were idolaters, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us closer to His service. So I see how it's talking about at first we were idolaters, about Terach, I can see that. But from where in this paragraph do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us closer to His service? It should be speaking about Mount Sinai, how we got the Torah. Where do you find it? So Sifte Chaim explains that if you understand all of these verses, you see allusions how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken us over the Gidrei HaTeva, the natural order, and has done miraculous things for us. He took Avraham Avinu from over the Nahar, and He saved him from the Kishon Ha'ish, He saved him from the fiery furnace. And He took him through Eretz Canaan, and as the Gemara says, in order that His children should be able to conquer the land easier. This level of Avraham Avinu walking through the land is Bederech Neis, a miraculous way in order to allow the Jewish people ease in conquering the land. That was a chesed of Hashem. The fact of Etein Lo Et Yitzchak, the fact that Yitzchak was born, is clearly a miracle from God. The fact that Esav had Har Seir and that he didn't want to live in Israel, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him material wealth there, that's also a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved. He says, Nimsa shekol ha-muskar b'psukim ha-elu, b'anagot Hashem yiparachim ha-avot. We see that the way Hashem deals with the forefathers, haya shelo api ha-teva, was not based on nature. It was all ma'asei Hashem, it was all the hand of God. And it's therefore, when looking at this paragraph, and in looking at the entire night of the Seder, you have to look it through the eyes of Kervanu Makom. It's looking at these things that we recognize that these are ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing us closer to Him. The night of the Seder has to be a night where we have to look at the entire Haggadah as a means of recognizing the oneness of Hashem and the means of the recognizing the Chastei Hashem, the miracles that Hashem has done for us over and over again, both spiritually as well as physically, in order to save us. And that has to be our focus tonight, to appreciate all of those allusions that are mentioned to in the Seder, to arouse within us this gratitude. A second example is the way the Gra understands that right after Behisha Amda, that every generation wants to destroy us, you have the next paragraph of Seol Lamad, see what Lavan wanted to do, how Lavan wanted to destroy us. And notice the Gra, that the Torah just tells us that Lavan ran after Yaakov because he wanted the Trafim, he wanted the idols. And yet the Haggadah tells us that he really wanted to destroy us. Says the Gra, so often in life, Vehisha Amda is not only about those who wanted to annihilate us that we knew about, but it's also Seol Lamad about Lavan. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all those who tried to hurt us, and they weren't successful. All those suicide bombers that the bomb didn't go off, or the gun jammed, or all those miracles that happened. That is also part of this evening, where we have to have the ability to be aroused and appreciate all the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has saved us that perhaps we're not even aware of, like in the case of Lavan. The focus of the evening is the feeling of gratitude, of recognizing what Hashem has done for us, and that then has to lead us to such a karas hatov, such a level of gratitude toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to lead us to sing the Dayenu, not just Dayenu, but to understand the importance of Dayenu, to understand that we say every single aspect of Dayenu three times. Ilu is... And that part is twice, and then at the end, we reiterate everything. Says Rav Brefta, that the Alkot Lekach Tov quotes, that we say it three times in order to focus on how much we have gratitude toward the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as Rabbi Tursky points out in Haggadah from Bondage to Freedom, he says, at first glance, some of the verses do not stand to reason. For example, had it given us their wealth but not spit the sea for us, it would have sufficed us. Of what possible value would wealth have been if the sea would not have been divided for the Israelites, inasmuch as we were trapped between the oncoming Egyptian army and the sea? But he says there's an important lesson to be derived from this hymn. We must learn to be grateful for every favor we receive, even if at the moment we cannot see its ultimate good. The refrain, it would have sufficed us, means that every incident and the many events of the Exodus was sufficient to elicit prompt gratitude from us, even though the eventual benefit might not have been immediately apparent. The key of the night of the Seder is to open up our eyes and appreciate every small detail that Hashem has done, whether we see the ultimate good or not, whether we understand the whole picture or not, but to be able to stop at every stanza and say, Dayenu, that would have been enough. To be able to appreciate the small details of life, to repeat it over and over again three times. The night of the Seder is not to get caught up in the details, but to be able to see the larger picture. The more we're opening ourselves up to the experiences that Hashem has done for us, and we look at the Seder night as all the wonderful physical redemptions that Hashem has done for us, the more we're able to see this and be aroused for these feelings, the more gratitude we feel. And the more gratitude that we feel to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more we will have, as the Siftei Chaim points out, a Kabbalat O Malchut Shamayim, the yoke of Hashem's kingdom on us. How are we able to reach this level of Amuna? It's through speaking about the great things Hashem has done for us and be able to tap into feelings of gratitude, where all we want to do is say thank you and connect. And I think, my friends, these are the two ways that perhaps we can access this goal that Rav always speaks about. That the Chatzot HaLaila, the night of Pesach, we have to tap into Shi'ur Komatam. We have to tap into that level that Klal Yisrael reached at that moment in Egypt. The moment where they wanted nothing else but to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment where their deepest desire was nothing but to be an Eved Hashem, a servant of God, L'chvod Yisrael. How do we tap into this? Perhaps it's through the Matzah on one model. To be able to arouse within us that aspect of Emuna, the aspect of growth, which is found within us, perhaps we're aware of it, perhaps not. Talk about experiences from the Haggadah and from our lives where we've seen so clearly Hashkachas Hashem. We see so clearly the Divine Providence. We feel the Emuna. We feel this aspect of faith. And the more we talk about it, the more talk about our experiences of closeness with Hashem, the more we too feel that simcha, that joy, that hallel at the end of the night of the Seder, and we want nothing else but to connect. We want nothing else but to be close. And on the second level, the Korban Pesach, the oneness of Hashem, is to see that the theme of the Haggadah is the aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself doing so many miracles. Focus in on all the different aspects of the Haggadah that are meant v'kivano makom lavarato, to Hashem is bringing us closer to him. The Dayenus, the ability to see for every small thing how Hashem is trying to forge a relationship with us. Open ourselves up to that. Be aware of that. Speak about it. Speak about it to a point where you feel such gratitude for these things. The more gratitude you feel, the more you're going to want to express that gratitude and connect to Hashem.
and through the aspect of the Geulat HaNefesh and the Geulat HaGuf, through the physical redemption and the spiritual redemption, through the Matzah, through the Korban Pesach, through the speaking of the Seder night, of all that Hashem has done for us in the past and the present, to be able to appreciate all the different aspects that Hashem has done for our lives, past, present, and future. If we're able to tap into this and be able to rise above those wortlach and use those wortlach just to increase our emunah, increase our level of connection, so then we'll be able to somehow, at least if not reach this level, desire to reach this level, that comes the night of Pesach, after all our energy and all of our preparation, we can say it was all well worth it, because tonight I'm able to tap in to that hidden matzah, to tap into that level of emunah which is there, which I might not express. And by the end of the Seder, I can say I want nothing else but to be a matzah, to be a mahus of emunah, a function of emunah, where all I want to do is to sing Shir HaShirim of the closeness of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to